The conductor of the occasion is Joseph Mekovich, and welcome back to the Midday.
Great to be here.
And so, how many times have you conducted a double bill?
I think this is my first time doing two one-acts. I have conducted Pagliacci by itself in performance, which is usually done sometimes just as a set piece. And when I was much younger, I worked on a production of Cavalleria, but I've never conducted it before.
And you have quite a wide variety of yes. operatic conducting to your credit, including most recently the one in Arizona, Riders of the Purple Sage.
Yes,
quite absolutely. A success in Arizona.
Huge success in Arizona. Wonderful
and,
opera.
These operas were quite successful back in their time originally, weren't they?
Absolutely. Cav was extraordinarily successful, still successful today. I mean, tens of thousands of performances during Mascagni's, the composer, during his lifetime that he conducted. I mean, everybody would be humming these tunes in the street while they're washing their dishes or whatever. So everybody knew that piece intimately. And Pagliacci was also very successful throughout Europe and garnered just as much success.
And by the time we get to these operas, I'm going to say circa 1890, tastes in opera had changed, not just in terms of the music, but also in terms of the subject matter.
Right. It's, you know, opera has always been pulled out of contemporary culture. When you even go back to Mozart and the Beaumarchais trilogy, everyone was reading the Beaumarchais plays. Everyone knew about that. Or you think of Lucia and that very famous little novella that everyone was reading. The same thing about these opera composers in the 1890s is that they were very smart businessmen in the fact that they chose subject matter that resonated with the public. So it was the thing that's incredibly interesting about this and important is the fact this is the Verismo style, realism in music. No more gods, no more kings and queens. We're talking about real people here, real stories, tangible people that everyone can relate to.
And they have some, obviously, the same issues as those kings and queens and
yes,
gods,
they do.
But more down-to-earth presentation of those
Correct.
Issues.
Correct.
And there is an Easter theme to Cavalleria Rusticana.
Yes, there is. And what we're leading up to here in our first musical example, like in every good Italian opera that's taking place during Easter in a small town in Italy, you're going to go to a church service. And here Mascagni really shows you the true forces that are involved in this opera, which is the Easter hymn.
And this is one of the classic performances we're going to hear here.
Correct.
This is Zinka Milanov.
Yep.
As Santuzza.
Thank you.
Well, you as a conductor, Joe, it's hard for you probably not to wave an imaginary baton when you hear something like that.
Yeah, I mean, with this style of music, it's about extremes. You know, the story has extremes as well. You know, in both of these stories, Cav and Pag, it's murderous and treachery and everything you would think about in an SVU episode of Law and Order, the first 10 minutes. At any rate, but it's extremes musically as well. And this was a wonderful example of just the sheer number of people that are on stage during this moment, and coordinating that and keeping everyone on task is my job and something and wonderful to do during this.
How many people do we have on stage at this point? I
mean, there are 43 in the chorus, all the principals, and then the Madison Symphony down in the pit.
You've got members of the Madison Youth Choirs.
Yes, yeah. They're featured in Pagliacci, yeah.
In addition to the Madison Opera Chorus by
Correct.
The time we get to Pagliacci. Thematically, these operas are compatible, too?
They are. I mean, they're written in the same time period. You could say that Cavalleria is just a little more archaic in its structure. When we think of opera, when we think of Rossini and Mozart, the numbered opera, and a numbered opera is when everybody knows when to clap, when you hear a cadence and everyone claps. Mm-hmm. Cavalleria is structured like that. It's more through-composed. Through-composed would be something like Butterfly, where it's just continuously moving along. It still has that number construction, but it has arias and duets and the big choruses and everything that you need. It's big, grand opera, but it focuses on real people in real situations, and there's intimate moments as well.
And this contrast between the clown on the outside and, of course, his tragic life that he has to put aside or attempt to put aside while performing as a clown.
Yeah, exactly. It's in Pagliacci, which you're speaking of, it is that duality. And the wonderful way that piece is presented, it's a play within a play. And so the chorus in our next musical excerpt, they're observing what's happening with this Commedia dell'arte troupe, this group of clowns, this traveling so-called circus. And during this this presentation is where everything starts to fall apart. But this is a wonderful example of how the orchestra, in what you just heard prior to that, all the forces, the chorus and the orchestra were huge and enormous. And now we're scaling it down. Leoncavallo, the composer of Pagliacci, scales down the forces to make it more intimate. And as things start to dramatically fall apart, as the emotions and tensions increase, the orchestral forces become more and more and more.